Thank you for listening to this audio message of Refuge Church. Our mission is to display and declare the good news of Jesus to individuals near and far. We hope this message encourages you. To learn more about Refuge Church, visit us online at refugenc.org.
If you don't know me, my name is Dennis Morana. I am the worship and media leader here, and I have the great privilege to continue our series in Colossians, Christ Above All. Christ above all, and again, I hope and pray that each one of us today, that myself included, would be able to see the glory of Jesus, and that it would change the way we think, it would change the way that we live. And so if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, I invite you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, we got the words on the screen behind me, and also, we'd love to give you a free Bible at our Next Steps table. Please don't hesitate to grab one of those. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 says this: If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Will you pray with me today? God, again, we come to you and ask that you would do what only you can in our hearts, in my heart, that you would help us to see the glory of Jesus, that you would help us to realize why we live each day. God, that we would be able to worship you with our lives, that our minds would be attuned with your word, with the heart of Christ. Please change us today by your spirit through your word. And it's in Jesus' holy and powerful name I pray. Amen. So this morning I've entitled the message, Think Differently. Think Differently. So it's kind of an homage, kind of a tribute to the old Apple campaign from the 90s, Think Different. So if you and I were to take a time machine back to 1997, we would really see that Apple was in one of the roughest spots that they had been as a company. Financially, things were not going well. They had invested a lot of money and resources and time into all these different products that just weren't selling. And one of those products was the Apple Newton. Apple Newton, if you're unaware, was kind of like an old school PDA. If you happen to remember what PDAs were, obviously not a good investment, as we realize today. However, they had done all that. It wasn't selling well. And so Steve Jobs came back as an interim CEO. And so one of the first things that he wanted to do during this time is he wanted to revamp the way that they did their advertising. And so he hired this ad company, and they got together, and this company really wanted to help people see where Apple had started, and just this the heart behind this company of being innovators, right? And so they rallied behind this phrase, think different. And what's really incredible about this marketing campaign is that if you saw the commercial, you can go YouTube it, you won't see a single Apple product there. No computer, the Apple Newton's not there. All it is are clips of different visionaries, different world changers, people like Albert Einstein, people like Mahatma Gandhi or Muhammad Ali, people that changed the world in their field. And what they decided to focus on was the fact that these people who changed the world, who impacted history, thought things differently. They saw the world in a different way. And so that's how they rallied behind this campaign of Think Different. But the good news for you and I today is that by the power of the Holy Spirit, if you and I have been raised with Christ, we don't have to be geniuses to think differently, right? We don't have to be world-class athletes to do things differently and to push the world. But Christ has given us himself. And that is the reason that you and I can think differently. And so that's our first point today, simply think differently. We see this play out in verses 1 through 2 when Paul says, If then you have been raised with Christ, Seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. If you have been raised with Christ, seek Christ. You see, this idea that Paul is trying to get us to see of having a different mindset, of setting our mind on heavenly things, is really a contrast to what Jonathan preached last week in verses 16 through 23. If you didn't get a chance, please check out that message. But what Paul had done is he had explained all these different ideas and different things of the world that people were pursuing. Verse 20, he says, "If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch," referring to all these things that perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. "These indeed have the appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh." See, those things of the world have the appearance of wisdom. But what Paul says here in verses 1 through 4 of chapter 3, he says, set your mind on the things above where Christ is. And this idea of seeing and seeking Christ and finding our true wisdom in him is something that he said even back in chapter 1. I love how, as a leadership team, we've been challenged to memorize chapter 1. We're kind of in verses 1 through 12 now, but I love 9 through 12 because it's the heart of what Paul was praying for the Colossians. And he spends the entire book going back to these different elements. And the first thing that he prayed here, he said, "We do not cease to pray for you, asking that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. You see, Paul keeps going back to this idea that there is a source of wisdom that can't come from this world, that it has to come from Christ. And it's an idea that isn't just present here in Colossians. But if you turn to Ephesians chapter 4, Paul brings this idea again to our minds. In verse 17, he says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. They have become callous. They have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way that you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be what? Renewed in the spirit of your minds. Put on the new self created after the likeness of God and true righteousness and holiness." So that idea that we have been raised with Christ, that we have put off the old self, that the way that our minds are renewed is when we seek Christ who is above. And again, when he says, seek the things that are above, seek where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. What's awesome is, again, he explained in verses 15 through 20 of chapter 1 in Colossians. This is the image that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. By him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. That's what Paul wants us to remember. You see, he's saying, seek the things that are above. Seek Christ, because Christ is the fullness of God. He is all sovereign. He has all authority. He has all power. And so the way that we are able to think differently is when we seek Christ who is above. But even Jesus spoke about this in the Sermon on the Mount. He was challenging the people. Their way of thinking was based on their understanding of the law and human tradition. And they had started mixing together all these kind of traditions with the law, and they were seeing that as an end in of itself. But Jesus is saying, no, you got to think about those things in light of the kingdom of heaven. And one thing that he says in chapter 6, 25, he says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's the heart of what Paul is wanting us to see. And I love how even Luke, when he's explaining this, he says, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Because that's what we truly need. He's saying, don't focus on all these things that are just temporal. What we're going to wear, where we're going to live, what are we going to do, all these things. He's saying, yes, those are good things, but that can't be what you're basing your life on. The things that you and I do every day have to be done with the mindset of heaven. What is going to be valuable for eternity? Because even in John chapter 6, we see Jesus say, don't work for the food that perishes. Work for the food that endures to eternal life. It's this theme throughout Scripture that you and I need to have a renewed mind, that we need to reset our way of thinking. And it's such a perfect time at the beginning of the year to kind of think through those things. And I challenge you, think through this past year. How are you spending your time? How are you spending your resources? How are you spending your energy? Was it on things that just perish and fade away? Or is it investments that will last for all of eternity? Because it's when we seek those that we can truly find the wisdom of Christ. When we seek him every single day through his word. And the next thing that Paul, I believe, wants us to see is not only should we think differently, but that we would live heavenly. Verses 3 through 4 says this, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So there's a lot of things going on here. What's really incredible, I love how Paul does this. He really puts together a lot of practical things, but he also fuels it with these theological truths. So what Paul wants us to see here in verses 3 through 4 is our identity in Christ. And that, when we realize who we are in Christ, when we realize what he has done for us, then it changes the way we live. So again, I've said it before, and I know Jonathan has talked about it, but salvation really isn't just a one-time thing. It's a process. The New Testament authors would have seen it as a process, that there is a moment of justification. There's a moment when you and I turn from our sin and place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And in that moment, we are made right before God. We are justified before him. Or, as he says here, you have died, right? You have died to your old self. That is a past tense thing that happened. It happened in a moment, but by God's grace, he's given us the gift of sanctification. This is the process of the Holy Spirit changing you and I to be more holy, to be more like Jesus, and that is a day by day by day process. And the way that Paul brings it to light here is he says your life is hidden with Christ and God. So you have died, past tense, to the old self. You've died to the old way of thinking. Now your life is currently, presently hidden with Christ and God. We just sung about it. I love that line in that song. Your life is hid with Christ on high. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean for our lives to be hidden? That was part of the passage that as I was studying, I was like, man, I'm not really getting it. What does it mean by hidden? There's a lot of different things that we think about when we think of hide. It could be hide and go seek. Like, you know, are we just hiding away and then one day like, oh, Jesus is going to find us. But that's not what Paul's really talking about here. There are a few different ways that this kind of plays out in our lives. The first off is this idea of security. It's something that we see all throughout the Old Testament. One example, there are many. One example I'll read is from Psalm 27, verse 5. It says, "For he will hide me in the shelter in the day of trouble, and he will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock." See, it's this idea that when we're hidden with God, that we are secure in him. And when you and I place our faith in Jesus Christ, we believe that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we have been secured. Ephesians says that we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. We believe that by the grace of God, we will persevere until the end. There is no break in this process of salvation. There is the justification, the sanctification, and one day we will be glorified. But by God's grace, we will continue in the faith. That's why he's given us his word. That's why he's given us the local church to be a part of believers, to help encourage us and spur us on in discipleship and pointing us to Christ. When there are the times when you and I are just kind of feeling so consumed by the things of the world that our brothers and sisters can say, hey, look to Christ. He's done it. He's taken care of it. Seek him in his word. And I know I love that about our life groups is it's such a great atmosphere where I know like there have been some weeks where I've just felt the weight of it. But then hearing other people and just their encouragement to pursue Christ, it's like we said, when you turn your eyes upon Jesus, the things of this earth will just grow strangely dim. I think about Stephen. When he was being martyred, when he was being stoned to death, what happened? He looked, he saw Jesus. And it's like everything else was background noise. These people were yelling, they were screaming, they were throwing huge rocks. It weren't like a little like thing. It was, these were huge rocks. And he was literally dying. And what does he say? I see Jesus at the right hand. He understood this. He understood this idea of seeing Christ at the right hand. And he was at peace in that moment. And so the way that we see this here is not only as our lives hidden in this security in God's hand, but there is a reality that who we really are, our identity in Christ, is hidden from the world because it's the presence of Jesus inside of us, the Holy Spirit inside of us. So if you and I were to go into Starbucks right down the road, if you were there during a weekday from 4:30 in the morning to like maybe 10 o'clock, you might see me there. But if you don't get up that early or you go to the one in Wake Forest, then you won't see me. However, you walk in there and you get in line because it's probably peak time, so you're going to be in line. And so you look around. What do you see? People. Essentially look like you, maybe look a little bit different, but they're humans, right? They're people nonetheless. And the reality is that you and I look the same as people on the outside, but who we are in Christ is hidden within us. There will be a day that Paul talks about here where when Christ appears in glory that you and I will be glorified, that we will be with him in glory and we'll be given new bodies. But until then, we're here. We have the presence of Christ in us. It's hidden. But what Paul wants us to do is to live out the reality that heaven, the goodness of heaven, the kingdom of heaven that Jesus was talking about, that we should seek, really the goodness and the goal of heaven is Jesus. And it's easy to get wrapped up when you think about heaven in the pearly gates and the mansions that probably aren't actually there and the streets of gold. But the only thing that makes heaven amazing is the presence of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that makes it worth it. It's like that is the mindset that we have. And when we realize that the presence of Jesus Christ is in us, then we can live each day with that mindset that, you know what? I'm going to live like Jesus prayed. God, your will be done. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And so that's the mindset that you and I should have, is every single day saying, God, I know I'm not there yet, but I want to try to live it here because I know your presence is in me. And it's kind of this weird idea that we see come up in Scripture of this already but not yet, right? So we're kind of in this in-between stage where we know that we're not made for here. Paul says in Philippians 3 that our citizenship is in heaven. So you and I are here, we're living, we're doing life, but it just doesn't feel quite like home, right? Because it's not our home. And so what's really cool about kind of being in this in-between stage, so I love outer space, if you haven't realized. And one really cool thing that I've learned that NASA does to help train astronauts for extended times in space is they have this program in which they develop and practice in the ocean. They're undersea astronauts. That's what they do. And so what they do is they go to the depths of the ocean for weeks at a time, living out in these conditions, training for the time that they're going to spend in space. So they go about doing work and they do all these things to get used to living this way, though they're not there yet. They're here on Earth, but one day they're not going to be. One day they're going to be in outer space. But they spend weeks to try to get accustomed to living this way. And that is what God has called you and I to do while we're here on Earth, is to live heavenly, to live in a way that reflects where our end goal is. To live our lives in worship to Christ, because that's what we'll be doing for eternity. And there will be a day where there is a new heaven and a new earth, and God's kingdom is back here, and the fullness of his presence is here on earth. But until that day, you and I can pursue him, we can seek him, and we can live like our lives have been changed by Jesus Christ. And so I love how Paul here says, you have died, your life is hidden with Christ in God, and in the future, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. See, these truths are exactly what Paul had been talking about in the previous section. In verse 20, he said, if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you are still alive in the world, do you submit to these regulations? He's saying you have died. That old self that you and I tend to hold on to, we don't have to anymore. We can pursue Christ. We can seek him because we have died to it. We have died with Christ. We have been raised to new life with him, and there will be a day when Christ comes back in glory that we will be with him for all eternity. And so the way that we practically live that out is realizing that every single thing that we do during the day that God has given us as a gift, the people that you and I come into contact with on a daily basis, whether at work, whether in the supermarket, whether your neighbors in your community, I would encourage you and just challenge myself to pray through, God, How can I see these people in light of eternity? How can I interact with these people in light of eternity? In the way that you and I plan our budgets and invest our energy and our time, just think through and say, God, pray through that. Say, God, How can I be investing in things of eternity? Where can I be putting my resources that you have gifted me? Even in the way that we eat and we plan our groceries, it's funny, I thought about how we typically pray over our meals, right? But if I'm honest, I can't really think of many times that I've prayed over my grocery list. It's like, typically we'll pray after the fact, and it's like we have something that's probably not the most healthy, but we pray, God, bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies. By some miracle, that's probably what we need to be praying, because we need a miracle for that greasy food to somehow nourish our bodies, right? But what if you and I, and I'm not saying you have to do this every time, and I'm not saying, but just try it. Just try the next time you make your grocery list, and I'll try it too. I promise. I'll do this homework. Just pray over your grocery list and say, God, you know, what food can I buy that would help actually nourish me, that would help actually equip me to be able to do the work that you've called me to do? That doesn't mean you can't get some Coke or Cherry Coke. I love Cherry Coke. But just think through those things. It's something that if we start to be diligent in the little things of seeking Christ, then when we come to those really important decisions that we have to make, it's just going to be like, of course, I can't not pray about this. And I feel like the way that we live those everyday moments will reflect how we come into contact with those significant circumstances in our lives. And that's what I believe Paul is trying to get us to think differently so that we can live differently. It doesn't just happen in our minds. It's easy on a Sunday morning, right, to think through these things, to read scripture, to see, yes, like Jesus is in heaven and his presence is in me. And I get it, like that my life should be different. But 12 o'clock's coming and we're going to leave here. And the real challenge is what we're going to do this afternoon and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And so my prayer, my encouragement for each one of us is that we would pray through, God, please reset my mind. Renew my mind. Help me to truly think on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. God, please remind me of my identity in Christ, that I have died to those things. Just leave them. Leave them in the grave. You don't need those things anymore. We don't need those things that we used to pursue. What we need to remember is that our lives are hidden and secure in Christ. What we need to remember really is that there'll be one day where Christ is coming back. One day where he'll call us home. Or one day we'll pass away. And then we'll be in glory. Let's live today, let's live tomorrow in light of eternity. And so if you're here today and you're not sure if you have been raised with Christ, if you have died to the things of this world, I just pray and plead with you that today you would do that, that today you would leave behind the things of earth, that you would leave behind the old self and the sin and just run to Christ. Pursue him. If you're here today and you're a believer, but you're still holding on to those old things, let it go. Let it go and seek Christ who is above at the right hand of God the Father. Leave those things. I love how Hebrews, the writer says, lay aside all the weights and sins. There are some things that we hold on to that aren't necessarily sins, but they're weighing us down. They're keeping us from seeing Christ and seeking him and living for him. Pray through that. Think through that. And just let it go. Leave it there. And if you're here today, I just pray that God would be able to fill your heart with the joy. With the joy of Christ. That it wouldn't be a burden. I love how Hebrews says, your commands are not burdensome. Because we know that Jesus Christ has overcome. So it is hard, but we know that Christ can carry it, and he is walking with us day by day. Think differently, live heavenly. That's my challenge for us. Will you pray with me today? Lord, I thank you for the incredible truths of your word, the incredible reality of who Jesus Christ is, all he's done. Help us to remember our identity in Christ. Help us to truly realize that we have been rescued from the grave, that you have made us alive. I pray that you would give us the mind and the eyes to see Jesus every single day, that we would live in light of that. Lord, please, we need you. I need you to change my heart. We need you to change our hearts. Please don't let us leave here the same way. And it's only through the power of Jesus and the work of him on the cross in our place, when he satisfied the fullness of wrath that we deserve. Jesus, thank you for that. Help us to live in light of that. And it's your powerful name, Jesus, I pray.